We're going to go this morning. I have a teaching I'm going to do. The Lord's been speaking to me for the last few months about the areas of Thanksgiving, and we want to talk about that, and not just specifically concerning a holiday, because we have a holiday. Thank God, you know, our nation had set up a holiday of Thanksgiving, but, you know, honestly, it doesn't mean anything to the nation anymore. People-wise, it don't mean a thing. It doesn't even mean much to the church anymore. But we need to understand, because we deal with the areas of Thanksgiving or thankfulness. I want you to understand this, because thankfulness to the church is a way of life. It is not something you do when somebody does something for you. You know, you need to understand this. The Bible teaches us to walk by faith and not by sight. So therefore, the principles of God out of the Word are not something you just use after the fact. Because there's no, they're just dealing most of the time, that ain't have a thing to do with faith. The faith life is a totally different life. The faith life walks and lives like something's true that you can't see. The faith life walks like you're blessed when it don't seem like you're blessed at all. See, if you can only say thank you when you see a result, then you know nothing about the Bible and thanksgiving and thankfulness. You don't know a thing about it. Because you don't know anything about the faith walk. The most powerful and the greatest thing that we can do is understanding the Word of God and applying it when it doesn't look like applying it's going to do a thing for you. It's walking by faith. Walking like the Bible's true when it don't seem true at all. Whenever everybody around you, you know, it seems like what they're doing is working better than what you're doing. These are the days of faith, you know. And this is the air, then walking by faith. Now, one of the things that we have here, I just want to read a very familiar scripture. They made songs about it and everything. But in Psalm 100, verse 4 says this. It says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. And I want to say something. This is one of the things is your approach to God. Number one, your approach to God. How do you approach God? How do you do when you need help from God? How do you go to Him? Now, understand, this psalm is talking about something that from the natural standpoint. Remember, they had a temple. God had told them, you know, David gave him instructions. Solomon built it. Now, that thing was set up. And it said, you come, the courts he's talking about, they had a court of the Gentiles on the outside where even Gentiles could go into. Then he had a court where the Jew went into. And that was the place where they went to worship. And inside in that court, there was the altars and stuff where they made the sacrifices and things. And then there was the temple with the priests and stuff where they ministered to the Lord from there. God lived between his presence was between the cherubim. That's where His presence was. God didn't live in people. In the Old Testament, He wasn't in anybody. He was in nobody. He would anoint people to do stuff, but He wasn't in no one. The presence of God, that's why every year, every male had to go and present himself to God, because God was at that temple. He wasn't someplace else. He was at that temple. His presence was at that temple. And you had to go to that temple. You know, you had to go down to that temple whether you felt like God was there or not. Your life and blessing of life depended on your actions toward where God was, whether you were fulfilling it or not. You will find this out with Israel. See, this is one of the reasons why when we read Malachi about bringing their tithes into to the storehouse, it's taught on such a shallow level. It's all about getting money in a minister's pocket. And what the thing was about was this is about bringing your tithe in, because when the tithes weren't bought in, the priests no longer ministered in the temple. Nobody was there concerning the presence of God. And the temple ends up almost shut down is what it does. And the priests, they're all out going to work to make a living. And there is nobody there to minister at the presence of God. And see, it's about the reason to bring the tithe in was about the presence of God. It wasn't about the money. It was about the presence of God. You came to, and that's where the presence of God was. You read the history of Israel. Whenever Israel wasn't coming to the presence of God, they had nothing but trouble. That's what's wrong today in the church world. People walk around, talk about God being in them, and don't live at all like God's within 5 billion light years away from them. Remember the presence of God, your actions. See, it's a faith life. You know, I'll tell you, I got up this morning and I thought, God, do I ever need an anointing? I thought, if I tell the way I felt this morning, that's like, oh my, let's go back to bed, pull the covers over your head and just let you know. Can we just call it off today? Let's just do that. Let's call this one off. I'm not kidding you. I don't know why I got that. I'm not sure I don't like that at all. And I'm thinking today it's like, man, you know, I'm fighting to keep my mind straight. It's like you're fighting to keep your mind set in a direction. And you have this going on. But see, you got to live. That's the fight. See, most people don't know at all what a fight of faith is. They think it's, you know, some kind of big spiritual woo-woo. No, it's trying to, when you're in the middle of all your trouble trying to think right, that's a fight. When you're in the middle of your problems and you just walk of faith, when your body says, you know, you ought to stay home, you're sick, and your spirit's saying, you're healed, act like it. See the big difference. See, it's this walk of faith. See, it's acting in faith toward God. Now, we haven't left the subject of Thanksgiving. We're talking about, see, this life of faith that we're in. And we need to understand what this Thanksgiving stuff is all about. See, when they went to Israel, they said, now, when you come into the presence of God, when you're coming in the presence of God, they're telling you how you do it. And I'm telling you how you do it. See, most people, this is one of the things, you want to ruin your prayer life and your fellowship with God? Just always running into Him and the first thing on your lips is whatever's your problems and your troubles and whatever it is. And you're just you're that whining kid. You know? My youngest daughter, when she was little, she got over into that whining stuff, you know? And every time she was a whining about something. And, you know, I can't stand that kind of stuff. See, and it's like me, I would ignore her. If she whined, I didn't pay no attention to her. She could whine all she wants. She wasn't messing up my life and bringing her whine into me. You know why? Because if I let her get away with that, she's going to grow up and people are going to be sick of her. Boy, there's people you'd get sick of their kids quick. So you know the parents ain't worth nothing. See, I didn't want my daughter to grow up to where people couldn't stand to be around them. So I let her know my aggravation at it. I didn't yell and scream at her. I'd ignore her. I didn't pay no attention to her. You don't get nothing from me whining. You know, I want to ask for something. Come and ask for something. But as the whole thing of it is approaching God. If God's is good, see, like Darlene was reading about God being good and His mercy during. Now I'm just going to tell you flat out, the average Christian don't believe none of that. They don't believe any of that. You let a problem happen and see how they approach God. See, if you believed He was so good and He was so wonderful, you'd be so glad you can get into His presence. You know you're going to get what you're asking for. You know it. You wouldn't be going, poor old me, my little problems. You'd be coming, we're getting this thing straightened out now. Glory to God. And you would approach Him like He's going to do something. And you'd be so thankful. My God. You know, I've learned all the time. Many times I've gone to God and said, God, I am just so glad I have You I can come to now. I am so thankful that I know this. Ain't nobody paying attention to what my cry. Nobody else gives a rip about it. Nobody else cares. But I know You do. Glory to You. You're wonderful. You're incredible. So you got to approach Him. See, we don't approach by faith. We got to come to God. See, this is about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving ain't about a big meal down here on this. Thanksgiving is the life that you live, so maybe one day you'll end up with a big meal. You know what? All the sinners get a big meal on Thursday too. So you ain't got no proof that you and God are any kind of buddies at all just cause you get to eat a big meal. Cause what happens on Friday? You know? When you gotta go shop to try to get all the bargains cause you can't afford to wait to go any other time and you gotta go down there, stay up all night, run through stores and do all that stuff. I'm gonna tell you, if I have to do that, I won't even shop. Dear God, I'd rather pay twice the price than go out there and do that nonsense. saving money. I want to save my life. I want to save my sanity and not be so stupid. I don't have to be a nut to get God to bless me. They already consider you a nut if you do leave God. But see, you don't. See, people get over here and they say, you know, we're going to go out here and do that. And I thought, that don't make any sense to go do that. Say, well, I'm saving money. I thought, praise God, it's easier to believe for it than do that. It's much easier to be. Say, if I had to do that, I'll give that much money away. Easily. See, people need to get over it. See, the world has their way of doing things and the church is right in the middle of it. They say, praise God, I got this great deal over here. So did every other sinner that was in line before you. God didn't give you a special deal. Like, I was just a young Christian. This guy came along and said to me, he's a Rhema graduate. Come along to me and said, God bless me with this car. He said, I got this car. And I said, okay. And I said, wow, you know, I thought it was the coolest guy. I said, about the car, get it. Yeah, he said, well, I said, well, how'd you get it? I said, well, what he went to do is he went to a dealer, just like anybody else did. And he bought the car and he got a loan, just like everybody else did. And I asked him, I said, they give you a special loan? He ain't got no special, he ain't got nothing special. I said to him, I said, you go tell any sinner and tell your story and see if they would buy that was a blessing of God. Because the sinner probably got a better deal than you did. I said, you got it like everybody else. But you tag God on it like you're some kind of faith person. Now, when he told me that, I was a Christian less than a year when this guy told me the story. But I knew a con when I heard it. You see, we need to... You don't have, God is good. We don't have to fake Christianity and fake that He's good. We don't have to fake this stuff. It's shameful. We don't have to fake it. Hallelujah. I'm not out to impress anybody with it or anything or saying. My thing is, I want to walk by faith. First, I want to please God in me. I want to please God. God's in me. I don't go once a year to the presence of God. I wake up every morning with Him, feel it or not. And I got to live by faith every day. And I'm going to tell you what, I need to be thankful every day. You know, when the pressure's on, that's the time to be thankful. When the fight is on, that's the time to be thankful. That's the time to walk in faith. That's the time you start thanking God you're the winner. That's the time when you start thanking God you're overcoming. When it looks like the tire tracks are all over you. And you're thanking God. And people think you're crazy. People think you're weird. Because most Christians, it's always thank God afterwards. I remember one time as a young Christian, we were believing God for a certain amount of money. And that money came in. And there were some people that knew about it. And they said, when he found out the money came in, a person came to me and said, you didn't seem too excited about when that money showed up. Well, I said, sure enough, wasn't excited. I knew it was going to show up. I said, I got excited when I didn't have it, when I asked for it, and I shouted and danced when I didn't have it. I did my shouting by faith. See, everybody wants to do the big shout after it's over. Because why? They didn't really believe. They could only believe what they see. My God. You get healed. I learned that. I do all my shouting and dancing and stuff when my body says, you're sick and you're hurting. And that's when I'm praising God that I'm healed and think, wahoo, glory to God, I'm so glad you healed me. I'm so glad. See, I don't want to do my Thanksgiving. I don't wait till fourth Thursday, whatever Thursday it is in November to have one. The faith life is a thankful life, and it's a life of thanksgiving. That's what it is. Thankfulness is a sign of faith. Unthankfulness is a sign of faithlessness. Only being able to thank. Look, somebody does something nice for you and thank them for it, be like that. You know what? Always be thankful. When somebody does something, I don't care how little or how it seems, always be thankful. I'm just amazed anybody want to do something for me. I'm just thankful. People do anything thankful. I'm just thankful. I just think it's wonderful. You know, it's a nice thing. I feel so sorry for people today. So many people are so unthankful and things, and you know, I think so, you know, it's I think it's so sad. They're not grateful for what people do. See, the Bible says you reap what you sow. Don't be surprised people don't do things for you. You're not a thankful person. You're reaping what you sow. Nobody's looking to bless you. Unthankful people, nobody's looking to bless them. See, this is an important life, what I'm talking about here. This is the lifestyle. We have lost this. You know, when I back up, you know, like, well, I say, you know, I remember Jimmy Carter, and I remember things long before Jimmy, too. But anyhow, you know, I was born and raised, as you know, as a kid, it was just generally, people were much more thankful than they are today about things. People were much more courteous than they are today. I mean, Christians ain't even courteous today. Take things for granted. We live in a for granted world and not a thankful world. And you know, when we come to God, remember, your society, if you let the society get you, then you become like the society. And I will guarantee you, you will treat God just like whatever you've taken in your belief like society. You treat God in the same manner. You know the bad thing about it? The average Christian treats God like he's a man, like he's just a person. They don't treat him like he's God. Bible says New Testament's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. You know, and people wear, you know, t-shirts that says, you know, Jesus is my homeboy. He's my Lord. He ain't my homeboy. We belittle him. We try to bring him down to our squirrely life and our squirrely way of thinking. He ain't that. He's Lord. He has all power in heaven and in earth. See, when we don't treat with respect, so what, when we don't treat the highest power in the earth with any respect, what are we going to do to the people down below? It's going to be less respect. See, and it shouldn't be. You know, especially in the church world, we got to show each other respect. We're brothers and sisters. We're the Lord's children. We're the body of Christ. See, we've lost, this stuff's been lost. And the thankfulness, all that stuff goes out with it. We got to bring that back. Because it's about our faith. It's about this book. This wonderful book. This isn't suggestions about life. This isn't just some good ideas about life. This is the kingdom. This is how God lives. I'm going to tell you, the average Christian is going to get to heaven and feel like, I'm just telling you, they're going to feel like a misfit. You're not going to get to heaven and rise there. If you've lived like a misfit on this earth, when you get to heaven, you're going to feel like a misfit because that kingdom is high above and its ways are high above. And when you get there, you ain't going to have this pure mind. You're going to have the wine you left the earth with. And you're going to show up there and say, oh my God, what's this place? Where'd this place come from? In Colossians 3:15, I want to read something to their scripture. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What's supposed to rule in us? The peace of God. Now I want you to think about this. This message that God has me ministering today, so far ain't turning out nothing like we were doing. Anyhow, but the whole thing is the peace of God reign in your hearts. See, we got to take on a different way of thinking because this is why the turmoil of the day and all the stuff gone, all the things are trapped into it. I'm going to tell you, it is work to let the peace of God reign. It's working. It's a work. But you know, it's just like anything. I learned this when the Lord told me back when I first got born again, back in 1980, He said to me, He said, I'm going to teach you how to walk by faith by your military training. And what he did, number one, he started to teach me. See, what they do is they teach you in military. Number one, they're very repetitive. They don't make it easy on you. You know, God never made it easy on me. It wasn't until after about 15 years that I was born again that God would ever allow me to have somebody lay their hands on me for anything. He told me, don't do it. He said, you learn to stand and get it. You learn to stand and get it. You learn to do it. I thought he was treating me bad. I did. I mean, I've definitely thought, God, why don't you let me? Why does everybody else get? Why do you heal other people by gifts of the Spirit and I ain't allowed to have it? And here I thought he was treating me bad, and you know what? He was treating all those people lesser. Because I found this out, I learned how to get healing anytime I wanted it. The people who have to have somebody else give it to them, they don't always get it. See, I thought, what he wanted to do, he wanted to teach. And you're going to know this, see? Ministers that don't understand that, they can't teach. Now, I'm not saying I'm just a wonder. They sure can't teach the level that I teach it from. Can't do it. They don't know nothing about it. They can't bring people up. Jesus said you're going to go no further than your teacher. See, we need to understand this. God does. I thought he was treating me bad. You know what? It's because he gave me a gift and he wanted to bless people. My gift ain't for me. My gift, my teaching gift ain't for Ed Gibson at all. It's not for me. It's for others. That's what it's for. It's for other people. And it's about this life of faith. And this life of faith, I'm going to tell you what, you got to be like a soldier. You really do. You know what they do, like in the military, that you guys heard me talk about? They would take you and try ever to put you under the circumstances during training that were as much like combat as they could. Now, combat is a very peaceful, relaxing, just wonderful thing to get into. It's the thing that every Christian runs from instead of engaging. You're not going to learn much if you don't learn to engage combat. Now, it's very easy because, see, I've learned this. God wasn't doing anything he did to hurt me. See, the Bible says this, that God wouldn't allow any temptation to come on you that he would not provide a way out. This is what most Christians don't understand is this. Is God puts you in a place of a test. Now, God will never put you in a place of a test that he has not shown you how to overcome. If you're being tested, now people can get tested on their own by not living right and walking right, and the devil will come and eat your lunch. But as you go along in the words, you're going to find this. If you want to grow in faith, you're going to come into areas of testing. What happened to Jesus? Got filled with the Holy Ghost, led into the Spirit, led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What did he do? He came out, it says in Luke, in the power of the Spirit. You know why Christians don't have any power? They're always running from tests. People always hate tests. You get around, I remember, you know, in school was always like that. Oh, they're going to have tests. Oh, tests. You know what? See, it's always a negative thought. Always a negative thought. It's taught as a negative thing. We go through this whole thing. Tests are the best things that happen to you. You ain't ever going to amount to nothing without them. You're going to amount to nothing. That's why Christianity has amounted to nothing. Because it has always, let's stay away from any testing. Let's not prove out the Bible. Let's, you know, hide from the devil. If I get to a place of faith where the devil will never bother me again. Yeah, that's called dead. That's the place it's called dead. So quit asking people to pray for you. Go in the corner and die. That'll just get it over with and we don't have to listen to whining. That's what dead is. You live in this life, there's going to be battles. You determine the soldier that you're going to be, not God. God never determines the soldier you're going to be. You're going to determine whether you're going to be a fighter in this thing or not. You know, there's one thing I got from my mom was real good. My mom was a fighter. You know, the worst things got, the tougher she got. It's like, I let this thing overtake me. It just, you're going to have that in you. If you don't have that kind of thing in you, there's only so far you'll go. There's things you'll come against in the pressure. And you'll always be looking, you're looking for the way out, but it ain't the way out God gave. God will show you the way out. Jesus had a way out. Jesus was tempted. And who left? The devil. The devil said, well, I'm leaving. No, the average Christian is the devil comes and tempts and they say, I'm leaving. They don't stand through the test. Now this is important. Say, what does it have to do with Thanksgiving? I don't know. No, I just... But we need to understand. See, you need to understand it. If you don't understand this, If you don't have the thanksgiving spirit in you, you quit. You don't see God in it. You don't believe God's going to really get you through. You don't really believe that. The thankful person that really knows God, because listen to this verse I read here in the beginning in Colossians. We want the peace of God to reign. Inside of you, you have this. You have the choice. You either follow the peace in you or you're going to follow the trouble in your flesh and what's going on around you. There's two avenues you're going to go. But listen what he said. To which also you were called in one body. And it says this, and be thankful. Now listen to this. That word be, where it's used here in this, it says about being equal in meaning, but it says having the same connotation as, and then it uses the idea of God is love. God is love. It said, be thankful. God is love. This isn't good English, but it's true. God be love. That's what He be. You are not asked to be thankful. You're asked to be thankful. That's what you are, not something you're trying to become. God never tries to love. Nobody has the love of God and is not thankful. They just never develop. We're designed by God to be thankful. We're designed for this type of life. He couldn't command us, and that's really a command. It's a command to be. It's not asking you to. It's not asking Ed to be thankful. It's telling him, you got to be thankful. You're commanded to. Now, if God's commanding me to something that I can't be, that'd be unjust. If I can't be it, well, you just don't know the life I went through. Yeah, I do. I know the life we have to go through with you. So, if we have a right to complain too, then I guess. So one thing as I learned is, look how other people look at you and your problems. But you think, you know, you're trying to get everybody else, you know, are they tired of you? Are they tired of your complaint? Oh, you might as well smile, get over it. dear God. I'll tell you, see, I study this stuff first. I repented a long time before you. But see, we're supposed to be thankful. Because God, just as God loves, you know, God's a thankful God. He has to be. If God is not a thankful and that's not in His nature, He would never put up with you or me. The fact that when I look at God and what He has done for humanity is phenomenal. He looks at us in a completely different manner. He looks at humanity in such an incredible way. Now we're going to go over to Psalm 107. We're going to 107 Psalm. 107th Psalm is a wonderful psalm about thanking God, but it's really a prophetic psalm because it dealt with the time, but it also deals with the future and dealt with God's plans of the future. You can see it in it. In the psalm. But it starts up, and I found this so interesting. The Lord had me go to this psalm. And in the first verse really grabbed me because it starts with this. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. It starts up, you know, it's, oh, give thanks to the Lord. It's starting off with the idea, there could be things that want to keep you from being old, but oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, do it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Now, this is interesting in the Hebrew, and this morning Darlene was reading and using, you know, speaking about God being good and His mercy. But you know, the word mercy can also be translated goodness. And really, I would probably say this, that it's probably closer to translation to that because of what it says. We're supposed to think, so the Lord is good, and then what endures forever? His goodness. Now, listen, His goodness. I'll just say, His goodness endures forever. See, God has to be a God of faith, because then He looks at us, because this whole psalm is about doing something for humanity, and a lot of it the humanity didn't deserve. So He must look at, He wants to bless, He has to be a thankful God. Or He would say, let's just give them what they deserve. That's it. This God. Oh, give thanks. Now, then He goes on to say, He said, now listen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's a song that we sing here. It was one of the old choruses. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And it says, I'm redeemed. Now, I just want you, because the Lord talked to me emphasizing this. The Lord said is to emphasize to people, because lots of times the redeemed are not saying that. The redeemed are talking about their bondage. They're talking about their problems. They're not talking about being redeemed. What does it mean? We have this teaching. Remember, we looked over and redeemed and what redeemed meant when we're dealing with the areas of salvation. What is redeemed? We found out that being redeemed means you were redeemed from something to something. Now, where you're redeemed. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, let the redeemed of the Lord say they're redeemed. Quit saying what your problem is. Say you're redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord. See, it's just like, did God redeem us from sin and its power? Did He? Why does most of the church then pray? You're just going to sin anyway. Because why? They don't believe they're redeemed. They're not saying they're redeemed. They're saying they're still bound. Why does the average sick person in the church world, whether it's spirit-filled or not, why do they always say, they don't say, praise God, I'm redeemed from sickness. No, I'm sick. I have this problem. I got this. I got a bad leg. I got a bad knee. My head's bad. This is bad. Why do they do that? They're supposed to be saying they're redeemed. They're redeemed. See, God, Jesus Christ redeemed us from sickness and disease. We're supposed to, it says, let the redeemed say so. What? Say they're redeemed. I'm redeemed from sickness. I'm redeemed from poverty. I am redeemed from it. It is not to me. It is not my. If it comes knocking on my door, it ain't mine. What am I supposed to say? Okay, I'll take the letter. I'll sign for it. That's the church. They've been signing for everything. Instead of saying, I'm sorry, that ain't mine. I'm redeemed. The word redeemed almost means nothing to the church in many ways. It doesn't mean much. See, could you be thankful if you really thought you were redeemed? Man, I'm going to tell you, you couldn't enter God's gates without being, wow, I am so glad I'm redeemed. See, let's have me. What I'm going to God about is something I'm redeemed from. Glory to God. Lord, I am so glad You redeemed me from this mess. I am so glad You're on my side on this thing. I am so glad, Lord. See, I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I could count on Your help, Lord. I don't know how to fix this at all. Not at all. But you know what, Lord? I ain't God. You are. And You redeemed me from this mess. And I can't figure out how You did it. But I don't care. You said You did. So that's over. I don't have to come up with some idea of whatever. All I have to do is believe I'm redeemed. Everybody's trying to figure everything out. See, Christianity's got to be so much intellectualism. Very little faith and all intellectualism. They're always trying to figure things out. Don't have to figure it out. All I need to know is I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm redeemed from it. I'm blessed to God. That's where I'm at. And God is good, and His goodness endures forever. God, don't run out. And we're going to find out, even when you're stupid, God is good. And His goodness endures forever. When you're the big knucklehead and won't listen, God is still good and His goodness endures forever. And when you finally get fed up with you and say, I need God, He will be good and His goodness will endure forever. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Hallelujah. Sounds like we're going to make it. Hallelujah. It's almost, you know, let me just tell you, you've heard me say this before. It's a fixed system. It's fixed. You know, people would love it. They went to Las Vegas and found out, you know, they'd get a game that was fixed and they could just win a lot of money or they could win a lot of this. God made a fixed system for believers, and believers never live in the fixed system. They live in the world system and never live. This system God has set up is fixed on my behalf. It's fixed so I end up on the top. He designed it. The devil can do what he wants. God's going to put me on the top. I don't care what, I can be dealt every lousy card in the book, but when the game's over, I have all the good cards. I got a handful of aces. You know, it's just, hallelujah. Say, how did he do it? Say, did God cheat? Say, I don't know. I just, faith. Why? Faith will perform for you. It's faith in His ability, not in our ability, not in what we can accomplish. It's in what He can accomplish and do. And the system is fixed. It's fixed to bless you. That's what it is. Because God set a system that He's good, and that goodness will endure forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to God. Hallelujah. See, all the time, give thanks to God. Now listen, it goes on to say, look at here, in verse 3 of this psalm it says, and gather out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted for them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look at this thing. You know, really, we can see, and as He's talking here about, we could say, well, He was speaking here to Israel, but He could say to us, this is really the condition we were in. We were unsaved. Jesus Christ came and saved us, and He brought people in from the north, south, east, and west. I mean, if we look at, Peter wrote and said to the church, Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, he says, but you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Listen to what it says. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Had not obtained mercy, or haven't obtained that goodness. You didn't get that. Now you got goodness, but have now obtained it. You've got it. It's yours. See, we were called out to this. We didn't have a place. Hebrews tells us, see, I didn't have a city. All we were is people in this earth. This earth is temporal. You know that? See, everybody today wants to belong. Everybody today, they fight to keep their ethnicity. Oh, I am so sick of the pukey words and all this junk. My nationality means so much to me. Good grief. Aren't these nations just wonderful sores and pits to live in? But Paul writes concerning in Hebrews, he wrote in the 12th chapter, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God and to the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. That's your town, folks. That's the dwelling place He brought us to. See, in the Old Testament, they went to a temple. There was a presence of God. It was in that little hidden place, you know, in there. They could never go to that presence. The New Jerusalem is the place where God lives. That's where God, what's going to happen to you? One day you're going to get to see that city. And when you go in that city, there's a high mountain in that city. And on top of that high mountain is where God's enthroned. That's why the Bible talks about Him being high and lifted up. It's literally true. He oversees it all. And you know what? God called you and you made you a citizen of the city He lives in. Oh, and everybody's fighting to be something else. You know, everybody's fighting to be something in the natural so they can live a more natural life. See, why would we, you know, you want to invite people? I mean, my God, you want to invite people to come here and live in America? I don't see all these people coming to America to live. It shows the devil's in this stuff because they're idiots. They want to all crowd in here and turn it into a greater sword than what it is. And this is what the whole, it's like craziness. It's insanity. And then they come here and fight to keep their ethnicity. Well, if your ethnicity was so wonderful, why didn't you stay in that place where you were, that sore you lived in? You know, this stuff is so dumb, I just can't believe people in their minds, oh, you know, why would a Mexican want to go to Mexico and he wants to fly the Mexican flag? Live in that wonderful Mexico of yours. I don't care if people like it or hear it. I'm not against anybody, but I am against stupidity. I'll tell you what, I hate it, and I will not put up with it. And we're going to call it what it is. And if you're dumb, well, then you're just dumb. Get over it. We're not doing that. I'm not trying to be that. I'm going to tell you, we're children of God. The church needs to become an example. The church needs to become the example of what we are and who we belong to. Hallelujah. We're in the kingdom. You know, as Mike said, you know, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're kings and we're lords. When are we going to start living like it? You know, I want to step down to, do I want to step down to be the President of the United States? You know, dear, in heaven, Ed's a king. In heaven, Ed's a lord. What are you going to offer me here? In heaven, I'm in that position. What are you going to offer me in this place? See, there's things we got to get thinking in our mind. We got to get a little more heavenly thinking out of this earthly junk of what we think fame and fortune and all that is. We sit in heavenly places. We're enthroned with Jesus Christ Himself, the place of all authority and power in heaven and earth, and the church struggles to try to bring change in this earth. The only reason it does is because the average Christian is just earthly as crazy and thinks earthly. Kenneth Hagin said it when I first got born again. It's always been true. He said the number one problem in the church, he said, is unrenewed minds. That's the problem. That's the problem. You're going to always follow the way you think. You're always going to follow the way you think. I'm going to tell you, it takes time and work. It takes time and work. And that's one of the things is going back over to the training we had when I was in the service. They would put you through all these things and give you a hard time and put you through things. And the whole thing was they would train you what they wanted you to do. And then they'd put you in a hard situation and find out at first you don't do that. And then they're all over you. And they bring you and make you, they keep taking you over, you know, repetition. If you don't like repetition, I'll tell you what, God will send you through this, the similar temptation 10 times. And He'll keep doing it till you get it right. There is no point than letting you pass. I'm sorry, you don't get any trophies in heaven for participation. You don't get greater faith. God does not pass you on, and you get to get a greater faith when you haven't used a greater faith. I've learned this when I first got born again. Kenneth Hagin said this, and I just took it as true and found out then it was. Great faith is built through great trials. And if you don't go through great trials, now I'm talking about you go through them. Just because you had a great trial, if you didn't go through it or make it and you didn't get anywhere in it, you got nothing. See, I've learned this over time. There was things that I went through and I got a certain point of a victory, some, but I didn't get as much as I was available to me. And I found out myself in similar situations where I had to learn to take a bigger bite, step up higher and have to lift while I could conquer a situation like that. See, you have to, you decide how far you go in the kingdom, God don't. You decide how far you want to go in training. Now, when I was in the military, they didn't give you a choice. You either went through it or they killed you. You know, one of the two. But see what happens. See, they'll throw you, whether you learn it or not, they'll throw you out in the war and let the enemy kill you. So just be thankful. God's merciful. See, in the enemy, you'll go off to war. They'll say, hey, we trained them, whether they listened or not. They didn't listen. We tried to get them. Adios, amigos, you're out there. Now everybody has to put up with the lazy guys. See, that's what we did. See, we always have to end up putting up with the lazy people, the people that didn't bother training. Then you were out there and you end up in problems and you have to deal with these people. You got the enemy and the enemy in your camp, the guy that didn't learn. You deal with two enemies. That's life, folk. You're doing it now. We do it in the church. We deal in the church where it levels the same way. People refuse to learn, but they're always around. And you know, sometimes you'd like to say, let's just turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. Let him have them. What do you think? But I decided it does not matter what anybody else does. It only matters what I do. That's what matters. Whether people are going to learn, you know what? I'm going to love them. I'm going to do what I can to help. But you know, you're going to have to. I've realized this over there. There's some people, it ain't going to ever change. I've had the Lord tell me that situation ain't going to change. That person's going to stay that way. They have no will to change. They have no will to change. They have no will to go any further. They have no will to do it. They don't want to. People get to that place. Sometimes people are there for different reasons than that. Sometimes people just have a hard time getting over certain things and they just can't get past it. They just can't, people just can't see past certain problems in life and that problem holds them in a place and it sets a ceiling on their life and they can never go further than that. Spiritually, they can't go any further as long as that thing has a ceiling on. And everybody's got them. But you decide whether you're going to be tearing ceilings out or not. God don't tear ceilings out. We do. We decide how far we could go. We see things. He'll bring you to the place where you can see where you're limited. And you have to decide, am I going to go further than that? Do I want to? See, God won't force you to do a thing. He won't make you follow Him. He doesn't do that. He won't do that. It's one of the big things is I found there's certain things that absolutely help your faith to go further. Is number one is understanding God. You've got to understand that God's good. You can't get in a fight and think God's against you. See, it's one thing, like say if I was in the military and you thought, you know, you were in a war and your leaders are against you. Your leaders are. It makes a difficult fight. You don't want it. See, there's one thing is I know any fight that I go into, God's on my side. He is never against me. He is never thinking about my failure. And when I fail, he doesn't end it there. He'll get me back up for another round. See, I love the fact of it is, you know, in boxing and things and different sports, you have different times, you know, that they run and, you know, whether you have like football, you have quarters and you have the other stuff. God has none of that. You go for as many rounds as you want to. You can go for as long as you want to learn. You can get back up and go back in again if you desire. And that's what you have to find out. Do you want to win at things or do you want to, you know, I found out there were certain barriers I had in the areas concerning things, thinking about financing. But when I got over to things, the Lord started to deal with me and show me because I wanted to go beyond a certain point. I wanted to be able to think beyond a certain point. I could see certain things that were said in the scriptures. I could see certain things, but I didn't know if anybody was teaching them in those areas. I could see certain things, but see, I had to know. See, you can't tell you just cause somebody says something. You got to get a revelation yourself and be able to see it. Then you have to have the will to go beyond that. And I found out this, and you're going to need to learn this. Whenever you step into an area you want to expand, God's going to ask more of you. See, this is one of the things people today, it's all about asking God for all of His stuff. But my stuff's all mine. See, one of the biggest things about it is teaching the area. See, I had to come to the place where I could see He could ask anything of me. I can yield to Him. Why? Because He's good. And His goodness endures forever. He never asks me of something that He's not going to do something better. And so, see, when God comes and asks me of something, I stop and I think, He must have something planned here for me. He got something planned. See, His goodness goes outside. Thank you, Lord. It's like I heard Kenneth Hagin. This is things that I learned when I was a young Christian. Kenneth Hagin said when he looked at tests and trials, he always saw it that God was doing something just so he could go further. This is another opportunity to prove that faith works. Now, most of you don't even think like that. When something comes to you, it's like, oh, man, I got this to... Not, praise God, I'm going to put my faith to work. I'm going to be better than what I was when I started this thing. Hallelujah, I'm going further. See, if you were, if you thought God was really good, you was really thankful toward God, you would see it. See, and this, we got to change the way we think. When the devil comes knocking, when the devil comes and sticks something in your face, well, praise God. This is a wonderful opportunity for me to knock the nose right off his face. This is a wonderful opportunity. I get to take the swing now. I'm gonna, he thought he had a swing. Wait till he sees the one I come up with. Hallelujah. Well, see, we don't do that. No, it's like, it's a wimping, whining, and whatever else is that problem. Hallelujah. It's like, well, thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. When I swing, you're swinging with me. Is he in trouble now? He messed with the wrong person. He messed with God's kid. You know, it's like in the natural. Somebody messes with your kid. You know, as I grew up and I had five older brothers. And it's one thing as I learn about us. You know, you could do all you want to whatever, but I tell you, you picked on one of us, you had to fight six. So it wasn't a good idea to mess with us. That was usually, you know, you get an army and come back. That's sort of the way it was. We could fight amongst each other or do all kinds of things, but nobody else is allowed to. You better have good insurance because you're going to be hospitalized for a while. Because we will kick you when we're down. When you're down, that's what we'll do. We'll make sure you don't get back up. We're not kind. We weren't kind at all. When the devil comes, see, we need to have it toward God that God is good, and His goodness endures forever toward me. So whatever steps up, see, I can be thankful because I know I'm going to win this thing. I'm not going under. The Bible says about, you know, you fall down seven times, but He'll make you stand. Seven's the number of completion. God will make you stand till you stand and you can't be put down. That's God. And see, we need to view Him in that manner. And see how good He is. His great deliverance. Just like in this psalm, His great deliverance. We're looking here how He's delivered His, how He delivers His people. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Think about it. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What Jesus inherited, now listen, what Jesus inherited through His death, burial, and resurrection, if He has all authority in heaven and earth, what does the church have? You might get 20 Christians to agree on that. I don't know if you get even most would agree on. They'll talk about a lot of things. But that's what He inherited through His death, burial, and resurrection. Are we really the body of Christ? See, this is the big problem. The church always sees themselves as the bride. You can't be the bride and be the body. The church ain't no bride. The bride gets nothing in inheritance till she gets married. We cannot be the bride because we have the inheritance. We're one with Christ. We're not going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to get married then. Jesus is going to be just living with us for a while. I thought you weren't supposed to be living together. I don't. But people don't think about it. You don't get somebody as inheritance. You got to marry someone to become a joint with them in anything. We don't become joint heirs. We are. When I accepted Jesus Christ, I became a joint heir. The exact second in time that I received Christ, got born again, I became a joint heir. And I'm one body with Jesus Christ. Jesus is all male from the standpoint they put it. So in other words, His gender is what we are. That's what we are. We're seated in heavenly places. Now the bride couldn't be seated in heavenly places. She's not an heir. She's waiting to get something. See, I wish people would study the Bible just a little bit. We've done nothing but pass things on down through the years, and everybody is just like the bird, little baby bird. You could sit and stick anything in its mouth when it's you could drop washers down there. You could screws. You could throw it. And that's the church. They've been eating junk like crazy. Any old preacher says something. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're the body of Christ. Don't get any better. I want to, you know, one of the things I want to talk about here today is this, is because it says here in Psalms 107 again, I want you to look at Psalm 107, verse 9. It says, for He satisfies. Now, who is this? This is the Lord. This is the one who is good, and His goodness or His mercy endures forever. This is the forever stuff. It said, He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. As I said before, I said when Kenneth Hagin made a remark and he said the number one thing the church needs is a renewed mind. If there's anything that Christians, this is the battle that you will fight. Your battle isn't chasing around after devils and trying to deal with them. Your battle is about your mind, the way you think. That's your battle. See, people need to understand that. What does the Bible tells us about our spiritual warfare? It says taking thoughts into captivity. That's what you're always going to deal with. Thoughts. You either renew your mind with the Word of God, get in line with your inner man. See, on the inside, you can sit there and say, you know, did you ever sit there and read the Bible and all of a sudden, man, you just know that you know. Oh, man, I got this. And you step out the door and everything is going differently. And all of a sudden, your mind ain't thinking like that on the inside, but you just got that revelation. Your mind's out there going, my God, what's going on around here? Well, I thought this, and you have all these things going on. And your mind will say, it's just like me. I'll never forget. I mean, I got the revelation. By His stripes, I was healed. And I remember when off of me and said, you know, I thought about this. I thought, God's never going to heal me. I'm already healed. He healed me when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. I was healed before I was born again. Didn't know it. I had no idea. I didn't have a revelation. I didn't have it because all men were in. Jesus died for everybody, didn't He? Did He just took maybe you guys' sicknesses and not mine? He left mine out, you know. No, when He died, He took on all men's sicknesses, all men's sorrows, all the whole nine yards. He took it on. These people just don't receive it. Well, I remember getting that revelation. Got that revelation. Man, I am healed. Well, the next thing you come along and you wake up one day and your body's yelling, I ain't healed! I ain't healed! And I found out then the war starts. And here's the war. The war is about your tongue. The war is about who are you going to let control your tongue, your mind or your inner man? Who are you going to let have the last say? Who are you going to let do the talking? See, Jesus said you'll have what you say. He never said you'll have what you believe. He said you're going to have what you say. The power of the tongue. What are you saying? What are you saying? See, when I understood that and I come to that thing, I realized, here is the battle. There's something that we don't do. In America, we talk first and ask questions later. That's America. That's being American. I get over it, you know. It's just the way we are, you know. We got free speech and we're going to kill ourselves with it. If it ruins my life and destroys me, I'm going to vote for it. I'm not impressed about free speech at all. I'm just telling you. The only free speech I want is I want my inner man to have free speech. But I don't want my mind to say everything it comes across it. As I say to people, don't give me a piece of your mind because you need every bit of it that you get. Don't give anybody. Don't give none of it away. You ain't got enough to give away. So... But it's really, there's the battle. The battle is going to be who gets your voice. Who gets your voice? This is how you win wars. You're not going to come to the place where your mind, because your mind's still connected to your flesh, and your mind, even though your mind knows what the Word of God says, it'll battle you. Did you ever have that happen? You know what it says, and your mind knows what it says, but it's still battling you. There's nothing wrong with thoughts. What is wrong is when those thoughts become your voice. Now, you are setting into motion those words, are setting those thoughts into motion. You know, the devil don't know what you think till you open your mouth. And when you opened your mouth, you shouldn't have. Now he knows. He knows the nutty stuff that's going on. He knows how to play against you. Don't do it. Don't give him opportunity. The devil, when people get over that, because the devil is this omniscient thing that he could just know. He doesn't know your thoughts. God knows your thoughts. The devil don't. And if we don't tell him everything we think, he don't know everything. We've talked way too much about things we should never have said anything about. We have been releasing telling the devil how to plan against us. That's why think before we say. If people, this one thing, see, here's one of the bad things. The confession people in the confession church confess too quickly before they're ready. They're making statements. They're saying things. They're not ready to bring a cross. They're not. They're things that aren't really in their heart to do or follow. It's not really in their hearts. They don't know the difference between confessing the word to develop your faith and confessing. You did not make a confession of faith till you believed it in your heart and didn't doubt it at all. Other than that, it was wind blowing. Jesus said, what will come to pass out of your mouth, what you believe and don't doubt. He didn't say, well, what you believe a little bit and doubt a little bit and you just say it, and it don't work that way. See, it's getting yourself ready. I had to learn over the years. See, in immaturity, I used to do dumb stuff, you know. I didn't know any better, and lots of times people don't. But I learned over time to prepare myself to make a confession when I was ready to make it. The reason some people, and you need to understand this, this is one of the things why some people, either it takes so long to bring something to pass or it never comes to pass, is because they never develop faith in themselves. And they just keep saying it and saying it, and the whole time their mind's working against them because they have not really got it strong in them. And their mind is beating them all the time. It ain't working, it ain't working, it ain't working. And they never really come to a place of faith. They need to stop. You got to identify where you are. Don't tell people you're in faith when you're not. You just deceived yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Don't say, I'm in faith, I'm in faith. I've had people do this to me all the time. I've had to do funerals for people who kept saying they were in faith, and I knew they weren't in faith. And they said it for so long, they couldn't even get in faith anymore. They were deceived to think they were. Don't deceive yourself. Now, I didn't plan on preaching none of this. You see, we don't have to do that. You know what? You need to understand this. God is good. And His goodness endures forever. God is not nervous about time. Time deals with us. God will work with you and help you to arrive where you need to be. He's not demanding you have to jump in anything right now and just do it right now. Stop. Stop. Let Him work with you. Let His goodness go to work. Give Him time to put His goodness working so it can come out in its full measure in you. So people get to see the full measure of the goodness of God forever. Hallelujah. Not just a little taste here and there to get by. And you know, I mean, today we're at this point of, my God, somebody gets a healing of a headache. They think it's a real big deal. My God, the world's been healing headaches. I mean, take an aspirin. I ain't got nothing against it. Headaches, healing headaches. I learned back in 1980 how to stop a headache. I ain't had one since. I learned how to do it. And you know what? It wasn't some hard thing. It wasn't some terrible hard thing to do. But I allowed God in time to teach me what to put to work and what to do. And I learned through little things. So when big things came along, you know, you don't believe God, you know, when I came to the place where I had a heart attack, that didn't come to a thing in there where I had never hardly used my faith and nothing ever happened. I'd use my faith on little things and then got to a bigger thing and a bigger thing. And finally when something big came, I could take the bite out of it. I could deal with it. But see, you don't do that. See, you got to give God time to develop you. I didn't start off as a Christian and dealt with a heart attack next week. You know what? They'd have buried me back at the Gap. You know, I'm a soldier, so I was in this military, and they'd have just had a nice spot back there under the ground for me. I wouldn't have been able to, my faith would have, God would have had to do something outside of my faith. I wouldn't have had the faith to stand for that. God was going to have to do something. He would have had to get involved in that without, you know, I couldn't have set it in motion. And see, God wants you to come into the place. He's always about developing. He's never working against you. There's only two that work against us. Us and the devil. It ain't God. It is. So don't work against you, because why? The Lord is good. Oh, the Lord is good. And His goodness endures forever. He don't quit. Things come along. Why do we, you know, it's automatic thought in mind. And it's just the Lord just bought this. There's an automatic thinking goes in our mind. We're going along and something happens and we think, what did I do? You might have done nothing. You might be walking just like you need to be walking. We are generally moved toward the negative. And don't do this. You don't move toward the negative with God. The Lord is good, and His goodness endures forever. God ain't doing bad. The Lord is good. He ain't doing bad. Anything God does, it is working for good. Like people say, all things work together for good. I can have people quote that, and I never hardly ever met a person ever believed it. Because as soon as something happens, you know something happened, because it ain't nothing good. Oh, I don't know why this is really working for me. You've been there, haven't you? We've been there. We know about this. We're on the same page. Oh, my God. But see, we go to the negative side. This is why it's such important to be thankful. It'll keep you from that. Always living on the thankful side. You think about goodness. You think about mercy. You think about kindness. I messed up. God's going to fix me. Now, we're not going to go through anymore. Later, next week, we'll go some more into this psalm. Because this psalm is about deliverance on every mess up and everything that goes wrong. It's about deliverance. And it's constantly through it. It says, oh, if men would give thanks to the Lord. Oh, if people would just do it. Dear God, if we would just do it. Give thanks to the Lord. See, keeping a mindset. And so, you know, get over yourself. Sometimes we expect more out of ourselves. And this was a thing that I had learned. I expected more out of me than I was spiritually able to deal with. The first time I really got in sort of a trouble over it. And I tell this story sometimes, and I was, I just got over in the thing. I was a young Christian, and you just get over and you get in your mind about you messed up. You should have done better with this and better with that. But not realizing, I didn't know much about certain things, and I didn't realize that I was, had the measuring stick, and I was measuring myself against people, and even, you got to watch yourself measuring yourself against Jesus. Because see, when you measure against perfection and you sure ain't there, you start expecting out of you where places you can't walk. Now there's things that you can arrive to, but you can't walk. And that's what I was doing. I was measuring myself and expecting out of me where I couldn't walk. And I mean, I got to this part, and I'm not just thinking that, I just felt I just messed up and messed up. And I'll never, I was just a young, I wasn't even born again a year when this happened. And I was laying on the bedroom floor, and on that bedroom floor I was laying, and I said to the Lord, I just talked to the Lord, I said, Lord, I've just messed things up and I've done things. And I was literally crying to the Lord about it. I was, Lord, I've gone, and I said, I couldn't see how He was going to ever be able to use me of things that He talked to me about that He wanted to do. And I just could tell, how am I going to get there? You don't see yourself in that status. And this was the second time that, now to me it seemed like an audible voice. I don't know if anybody else would have heard it if they were in the room or not. I don't know. I've had this happen to me a number of times over my years as a Christian. And God has never spoken to me in that manner with an audible voice unless it was a situation where something dramatic was happening or I had been real stupid. And he's trying to straighten me out. I guess he thought he's so deaf I gotta yell at him. I don't know. But anyhow, this voice said to me just as clear, he says, your heart's perfect toward me. Well, see, what I was looking around, I was viewing, and I was viewing it. Something's wrong with my heart. My heart ain't right toward God. And when that voice came to me, the first thing I thought, that's the devil trying to deceive. Tell my heart's perfect. I ain't perfect. I still had religious stuff I was taught as a kid. You know, you have that stuff. It never gets out of you, you know. We had all that plain stuff, you know, we were taught. And there's nothing plain about it. It was crazy is what it was. I don't know why they called it plain. It's plain stupid. But anyhow, this voice speaks to me again. Says it a second time. And I rejected it. I rejected it. And finally, the third time, the Lord said exactly the same words, and then he added, he said, your heart's perfect toward me. He said, you look at your heart. He said, you love me with all your heart. And that was the first time I really was looked on the inside. I was looking at all that was going on the outside and all that was happening. That was going on. And when I looked in my heart and I said, Lord, I do love you with all my heart. I love you. And then he said, quit judging yourself by the flesh. I don't judge you that way. He said, I judge you by your heart. See, when the flesh runs and we let the flesh run, we're outside of the kingdom of God trying to operate. We're outside in that place that the devil can have access to bring trouble to us and make us believe wrong things and stuff. When we don't, you know, on the inside, what happened? We don't see ourselves as born again, children of God. You see, the world, and it has been the world, preachers have preached the world. They've taken Old Testament scriptures that deal with dead men spiritually and says men's hearts always to do evil. And they will say, I have been in churches where preachers have preached that to the congregation. Our hearts are always just to do evil. And I thought, I was sitting there thinking, yeah, and you're going to end up in hell if that's true. Ain't nobody going to heaven's hearts all to do. If I got born again and my heart only wants to do evil, wow, hold it here. What was the new birth? Jesus didn't do a thing. This has all been a scam. Most people that are having trouble, so much trouble with their flesh, is because they never look at their heart. They never live out of the inner man. That's why, you know, I give that how to be led by the Spirit. You better learn how to do that. You gotta hear the inner man. You gotta be able to live. Being led by just the Holy Spirit talk, if you don't know about yourself on the inside, you ain't ever listened to the Holy Spirit either. You gotta learn about the inside, the inner man, what you really are on the inside. What God has made you. Did He make you something that wasn't good and it didn't have any goodness in it? Is mercy something that just floats on the outside somewhere that we just try to touch into? I'm going to tell you what. Just think about it. The love of God's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You know, people say things like, you know, we need a baptism of love. No, you don't. You need to walk in the love you got. You got the love of God in your heart. Dear Lord, what do you need a baptism of love for? What you're trying, the people are trying to say, I ain't saved yet, probably, you know, so I just... No, but what happens is they look on the outside and they see their inadequacy of love. And you know, they're always going to feel inadequate as long as they never look on the inside. I was laying on the floor because I wasn't looking on the inside. I was calling out to a God that He didn't see anything wrong with me. He saw I was just an immature guy trying to walk with Him, unable to, stumbling around. But you know what? He was good and His goodness was toward me. He was full of mercy and kindness. You know, I fell on the floor and He didn't kick me once. He was kind and He was good. See, when people see in the inside what they are, the success of Christianity is the inner man, not the outer man. That stupid suit that you're wearing needs to die. We play to it. And the inside's where the glory's at. The Holy Spirit doesn't fellowship with your mind. He fellowships with your spirit. Today, God very seldom talks to me as anything audible is from the inside because He communes with my spirit. He had to get loud on the outside because I couldn't hear what was going on the inside. If you hear God talking audibly, it's because you're a little dense on the inside like I was. If He has talked to you loud on the outside, because you ain't been listening. That's where I can just tell you, it's the truth. Man, I had another time God, I mean, He spoke audibly. I was at Reese Candy Company, we did it, and He was going to chew me out. He chewed me out. Because He told me not to do something, and this was the thing that people think is spiritually praying for an individual. And because it came up, the Lord said, let that thing alone and stop, and I didn't stop, I kept praying about this. I wanted it changed. And I learned something, though, through that experience. You can push too hard in prayer in an area and open the door for the devil, and the devil will start operating. You got to learn to listen to your spirit when to go and when to stop. You keep pushing what God ain't in, what you want done. See, this is why you got to be led by the Spirit. These are why you learn to be led by the Spirit. You learn to listen on the inside. And God got so fed up with me. When He yelled, I'm serious, I thought the entire building shook. It felt to me as like it was an earthquake. I mean, I felt my body shake, and it just seemed like everything around me shook. And I stood there for a while and looked around, and I guess nobody else felt it. It was just me, but boy, He sure made it seem like everything shook. And when He yelled, I knew exactly what He was talking about. And then He said, I told you to stop, and you didn't. I said, well, I guess He's mad about this. Oh, my God. I thought, man, am I in trouble. Now, I want to talk about, now, this thing is, see, it's like, oh, man, going to go scared, go hide with God. This is about His goodness and mercy. I said to the Lord, I'm standing. I don't know if anybody else heard. There's people on lines and working, and I'm stopping talking to God. I never thought about this till it was all over. I thought, did people see me doing this? Because I'm standing there, and the Lord's talking to me, and I'm talking back to them. I'm standing there talking back to the Lord. I don't know the natural what was happening. It just sort of seemed to me, this is what's going on, standing there doing this. And I said, Lord, I repent. I said, I turned that. I said, you're right. I said, you told me to, and I didn't. And I said, Lord, you're right. I sinned. And so I repented of it. And when I repented of it, He started talking to me about stuff like nothing ever happened. I'm like, hold it. But see, that's what He is. You confess your sin, He's faithful, forgive. See, He forgets. See, this is why you got to get away from your flaky mind. Your flaky mind never forgets nothing. I'll tell you what, you can come to the place that you can forget. If you'll learn to train your mind, there's things you can forget, and there's things you need to learn to forget. There's weaknesses of the past that you need to get out of your mind. There's things that happened to you that you need to get out of your mind that the devil uses to taunt you. This is the honest truth. I spent 13 months in Vietnam. And I came back and all these guys, when I came back from Nam, and through the years I watched this, there's all these guys that kept living Vietnam. And I thought, I ain't living Vietnam. I'm not living Vietnam with these people. And they always need a pat on the back, and they always need to have a luncheon for them and that stuff of, let's thank the guys that went to Vietnam. Nobody owes me anything to do what I should have done for my nation. I don't need a pat in the back. I don't need none of that. You don't have to pat me in the back for doing right. You don't have to pat me in the back for following Jesus. It's been my benefit. If God can't reward me better than you, dear God. You know, we don't need reward for doing right. God's going to reward us big. The right doers, I'm going to tell you what, He knows how to reward. We do right. Whether anybody been it, whatever it seems to be or not. But, you know, if we don't learn from these things, it's like, Everybody wants something today, like with Vietnam and that stuff when I went through. But people want to do and want from these things. And they want from that they're trying to get a hold of something. They're trying to get something. If we don't get thoughts out, if we don't get rid of those things, I can truthfully say this today. I can hardly remember very many things about Vietnam anymore. Can't remember. I can't tell you names of people and things in it. I can't tell you. You know what? Because I ain't going to sit and tell this story over and over and over again. Why? It ain't changing the future. I don't want to live those things over and over and over again. Well, we run in our mind, we live over. I'm going to tell you, I've just been working on keeping the mind of Christ. I need to live this over and over and over again. I want to keep that in front of me. I want to. God gave man the ability. God knew we in the earth here. Our mind is something that we can control if we learn how to do it. If we take the time, and it takes time to learn how to deal with your mind. You've got to learn how to deal. When you're dealing with your mind, you're talking about your emotions. You've got to learn to deal with your emotions. Everybody has emotions. Some people almost have a sickness. They don't want to show any emotion at all, yet they're showing, in a sense, an emotion by not doing anything. God gave us emotion. There's nothing matter with emotion. Emotion is fine if it's controlled. You meet a person that don't have emotion, there's something mentally wrong with them. You wouldn't want to marry somebody that didn't have emotion. Something's wrong. There has to be emotion. Most people that don't have emotion, they've been just hurt so bad, they somehow psychically shut down. And that's not healthy nor good. We don't have it. God gave us emotions, but emotions were never supposed to drive us. We were not supposed to be responding to things out of our emotion. Although things would cause us to have emotion. And I learned this. It's one of the things I learned in Vietnam. People who couldn't control their emotions, you don't want them around when trouble comes. They're the last person you want around you. They're trouble. People say, I just can't help it. Yes, you can. You won't. There's a difference between you can't and you won't. And see, there's things you had to learn. See, one thing, that's where the renewing of the mind comes. Your renewing of your mind. I learned this over time. Is dealing with, I have never, in a number of times, I have been in situations in my life where it came down to life and death of a person. I have never been in one of those situations that God did not speak to me. Didn't tell me what to do or to do something. Never had it happen. One of the reasons of this. See, when you have something like this happen, if there's people around stuff, there's usually a lot of emotion. There's a lot of stuff going on. Something happens. Somebody gets injured. Most people, it's immediately 911 or they go, God's going to be the last one they're ever going to listen to till they get in town. They're going to pray and ask God to help on the way in. But they will never believe for a miracle till after the person goes to the hospital and the doctors checked them all out and everything else. Then we're going to get God involved. That's when people really want to get God involved. And I learned this, is you get God involved immediately. And here's a wonderful trait, and I want to teach this. If something serious happens, shut up. Don't start your mouth talking, saying things that should not be said. Because your voice will set things into motion. The first thing that I learned over time, is God taught me to stay silent. Every time I've stayed silent, I heard and I knew what to do. I knew exactly what to do. And every one of those situations turned out to be the danger ended. As soon as I knew what to do, that was it. It was all over. Everything's going to be all right now. We heard from heaven. Why? Because God's good. And His goodness endures forever. See, we got to come to believe that's true. It isn't get God involved after we get our control all around it. Then God is going to be good. Let's do everything we can to get God's arms around it immediately. Get God's arm. Stop right away. Say, thank you, God, I can talk to you. You're going to answer me today. You're going to speak to me right now. Whatever concerns me, Lord God, you're going to speak to me. You're going to tell me what to do. Even when you make mistakes. I had this one time with my youngest daughter, Elena. We were on vacation, driving a motorhome, and I pulled the motorhome in the alley behind the house, and we were unloading the motorhome. And me, I was just, well, let's get this stuff out of here, and I'm sort of like, oh, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. I shouldn't have been doing it. And so the kids are grabbing things out there and carrying their head down, and Elena, she's just a little tight. She fell and wrapped her chin on the concrete, just nailed it. I mean, really nailed it hard. Now, I talk to you about the goodness of God. When she fell on the sidewalk immediately, I knew I was out of line. The first thing I said to God was, God, I did this. See, lots of people praying about stuff and it ain't going to ever change because they won't admit that it happened because of them. I said, Lord, I did this. I was pushing my kid. And I walked over to her and I got her up and her chin was split, real wide open. And it was just bleeding profusely. But I put my hand on it and I commanded it to quit bleeding in the name of Jesus, and it instantly stopped. It quit. And we're there looking at it, there's a huge gash under there. And I thought, man, what did I do? So I wanted to hear from the Lord. I said, Lord, I know what I want to believe, but I need to hear from you. He said, this ain't going to go the way you want it. He said, you got to take her to the hospital and get them to sew that up. I learned this out. Lots of times you don't get things the way you'd like them after you've done dumb. That's why you want to quit doing dumb. Stop doing dumb. See, other people pay for your dumb. Believe me, other people are playing for your dumb. Do you ever think of believe how police pay for everybody else's dumb? They do it and the police show up and they shoot the police. The police ain't allowed to shoot the bad guy. See, you do dumb and somebody else has to pay for it. Somebody else gets in trouble. Somebody else has to go through. We do dumb. But anyhow, so I took her out, put her in the car. There's one thing as I did. See, I told her, ask God to forgive me, but I got to ask my daughter to forgive me. And I told my daughter, I said, honey, I want you, don't get upset, God. I said, God didn't do anything to you. Nothing happened here because of God. I said, your daddy did this. See, if you believe the guy from the Philippines says you don't have to repent, he's the biggest liar on the face of the earth. You do things to people, you better go to forgiveness to them about that. God will forgive, but you better talk to people. People find out whether you're gracious or not. They'll turn on whether they'll ever listen to you or not. See, I don't want my daughter to grow up weird thinking God somehow hurt her on the sidewalk. I want her to know her daddy did this because he was impatient. And I told her, and I said, did I ask her to forgive me? And she said, oh, daddy, I love you. See, they're little. They don't know dumb like big people do. And next year, tell everybody what you did to them. And they forgave you. You know, that's what big people do. But she said, oh, daddy, I love you. But it was, I mean, God still gave us it. See, God is good and his goodness endures forever. We took her to the hospital. They x-rayed her chin and they were absolutely amazed. They said, we're amazed her chin's not broken. The jaws are broken. They said, she hit hard enough. She said, such a shock. She said, it should have broke the bone. It didn't. And so we went through the things. She had it sewed up. And they told her all these things she couldn't do and all that kind of stuff. We got home the next day. She got up. You never thought she ever fell. Her chin didn't hurt her. She had no pain whatsoever. She's walking around. And she could talk. She didn't have any pain when she moved her jaw or nothing like that. And the stitches and everything didn't bother her in the least. Why? Because God is good. And his goodness endures forever. See, you follow the word of God. It works. You follow the word of God. Even though I brought dumb on, God was still good. Even I did stupid, God was still good. And he showed his goodness. Hallelujah. And I just want to encourage him. See, as we go on, we're going to find out this psalm is about this kind of stuff. It's when you do dumb It's when you're messed up. See, we're right now, we're living in a nation full of dumb. And there's full of dumb in the church world. They're as dumb as the world is. But you know what? God's never quit being good. And that good that He is forever. That goodness that He got. God is still... While God is in this place and in this position where He's manifesting His good and His mercy, man, this is the time to jump in. These are the days to jump in. See, it don't matter what's happening. This is why you need to be able to think like this, because you can't get to faith if you have no hope. And God is good and His goodness endures forever. There's always hope. If He's anything else, then you can't have hope. If He becomes something else, then there's not any hope. This I know, no matter what happens and what goes on, and we find in this psalm, it's about people get away. They deserve. People deserve judgment. People deserve the worst. But God is still good, and His goodness is still lasting forever. His goodness. See, people can always respond by faith. God could not ask, say to you, you can't please me without faith and Him not giving you hope. He couldn't do that. He'd be a liar. He'd be the guy, the problem of why we couldn't have faith. That's why He says, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and faith does come. Why? Because He's the God, the Bible calls Him the God of hope. Because no matter how it goes, the devil is going to always come to you. People are going to always come to you and try to tell you that your situation is hopeless. Somebody's going to always show up, it's gone too far. See, me and God are going too far together. Hallelujah. We're both going to go far now. Hallelujah. God will go far. It's easy. I mean, if there's anybody, have you ever felt you were just hopeless? There's nothing. You ever, if you didn't, we'll have an altar call for liars and get you saved and get this thing back on the road again here. But we run into that place where something feels hopeless, but it's not. That's why we can be a thankful people. It's never hopeless. It's never gone too far. The devil might kick the chair out from under us 10 times, but hallelujah, God has a chair that we're going to sit on and ain't going to be moved. God has a place for us to sit and rule and reign, and we're going to sit on that place. I might have to keep crawling back up on it, but we're going to keep crawling back up on it till we see the goodness of God. We're not going to stop. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to a place in our life. Let's go this far. Let's become as just God is love. Let's walk in that love, but let's be a thankful people. Amen. What people are ever going on around, whatever's happening around you and people, things that are going on, always be a person of hope for them. Always tell them, hey, because we want to find out when people cry out to God, that's what we got to do. We're trying to get people to call to us. When people need something, get a hold of us. Let's get a hold of God. You tell people, I can bless you so much, but I can't bless you like Jesus can. Amen. You know, I lay hands on the sick, but I don't heal them. He does. He tells me lay hands on them and then He heals them. That's what He does. So if I obey that part, I lay hands on them, He'll heal them. He'll do that. And see, we can tell people, God will bless you because why? He's good. And His mercy or His goodness endures forever. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise be the name of the Lord. Praise be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, our wonderful and great Father God. Hallelujah. What a God. Father, it is one of the most remarkable things that You call us to come freely to You, that we can converse with the Creator of heaven and earth and all the universe, all that there is. All that, Lord, we don't know what all is involved in. Lord, we see creation from our point of view, but not from the magnitude of what What all have you done? I mean, just in heaven itself, what is the glories of heaven that, Lord, we're only shown a little bit of it in the book, and every once in a while somebody gets caught up there and sees a little bit, but Lord, it ain't ever much that they get to see. But Lord, you've called us to all of this, and you say, in all the glory that you have and all that there is, you want to fellowship with us. And all the goodness you have and all the kindness, all the mercies, Lord God, everything that you have, you poured out to us through Christ Jesus. Oh, my. And Lord, when I look at these things, I think of so many times of, Lord, all the wonders and the glories and all that you've given us, and I sure do fall short on thanksgiving at times. I am not, oh, my. What a God you are. But I want to thank you that you took us in. And Lord God, we don't have to head to over to Israel and go up on the Temple Mount. We don't have to go there. We don't have to go to that place to find where the presence of God is and your great mercy and loving kindness to humanity. You moved in everybody who believes on you. Oh, Lord God, I just want to thank you. Father, I want to live in the knowledge of that truth. I, Lord God, that is so real and so true to me that I cannot think in any other way. Lord, that no matter what happens in life, God is in me. Hallelujah. How wonderful it is. And I am just so thankful, Lord God. Lord, that we can walk here together in this earth. Lord, because the average person out here, they don't know nothing about God in them. Lord, people have ideas of their religion and they have ideas of their things. But Lord God, we can carry you to people. We can stand in people's presence and God in us. Lord God, you can speak through us. You can reveal yourself through us. Hallelujah. And I just, Lord, it's an absolutely incredible thing. Lord, I think about your servant, Kenneth E. Hagin, and he said that the Bible almost seems like a superhero comic book. He said, in some ways, it's almost hard to believe. It's so true. It is so real. Lord, because we have so much around us that people think are phenomenal and great, but the greatness is in this book that you gave us, that by the Holy Spirit you revealed to us what you've made us. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, we're going to live in this thankfulness. We're going to live in this place. Hallelujah. We're going to live in this place of faith. Hallelujah. Because, Lord God, you're expanding our faith. You're taking us further in these days and times. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, that we trust in you. And Father, I pray especially for the renewing of our minds, Lord God. Lord, we put on the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Lord God, how desperately we need in our thinking, Lord God. And I want to thank you. Lord, you're working with us in this. Your goodness is working with us in this thing. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, teach us what we don't know. Reveal to us what we don't understand. We desire to comprehend. Lord, Holy Spirit, we know that there's things in our own human spirits that we comprehend, but it hasn't dawned on our minds. Our minds haven't thought in line with some things that are already in us. And Lord God, there's the life of God that's working mightily. And Lord God, Lord, we want that life dominating our minds. We want the life on the inside. That life permeating the life of our minds and our thinking, hallelujah, that we walk in the glory, hallelujah, that you prepared for us. It's ours. You gave it to us. And I want to thank you. And so I thank you today. We have the mind of Christ. We have it. Hallelujah. And thank you for giving it to us. Hallelujah. We take a hold of it and we believe it's working in us. We believe the mind of Christ is working powerfully, that our thinking is coming in line with the thinking, your thinking, Father. Hallelujah. We're thinking in line of the goodness, hallelujah, of God. We're thinking in line of the great mercy and kindness of our God, hallelujah. We're thinking in line, Lord God, of your plans and purposes, because you're the deliverer, and you have never stopped, hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, you have never stopped in your deliverance. You're the redeemer, and you constantly reach out to redeem. You constantly reach out to set things in order again. And we thank you, Father God. That's our God, and you are our God. Hallelujah. And Father God, we're just going to think, set our minds in line, just as Jesus did. Hallelujah. Just as He walked, hallelujah, when He was walked in this earth as a man, so can we walk as men in this earth. Hallelujah. We can follow You. We can be led by the Spirit of God, and we will be. Hallelujah. Because thank You, Lord God, You have given us the ability. You have given us the wisdom. You've given us the understanding, and we're going to walk in it and live in it. Hallelujah. Father, the end of this year coming out, Lord God, I want to thank You. It's a big step. Hallelujah. It's a big step for us in the Spirit. And next year is a greater step into glory. Oh, yes. Oh, we will not, Lord, no, we're not going to be moved by the things in the natural that many are going to be stray off to. Many are going to go off to certain things. Lord, we're not going to follow it. Hallelujah. We have a path of glory that's laid out, and that's what we will walk in. We are going to be a great benefit to people. We are going to be a great benefit even to our nation. We will be a great benefit. We will not be moved from our place of faith. Hallelujah. And You will take care of us. You will uphold us, Lord God. Hallelujah. You will show forth Your glory, and we will stand steadfast. We're going to be unmovable. Hallelujah. We're going to stand forth in the glory of God. You said that the shield of faith would stop every fiery dart of the enemy. I thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. The enemy's darts or missiles are being quenched in the name of Jesus Christ against us. We're the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Devil, you don't even have the keys to your own kingdom anymore. You're not going to be victorious. We're going to be victorious. Hallelujah. You're defeated in the name of Jesus, and we're going to stand and prove this year to come the great defeat that Jesus Christ did to you and brought to your kingdom. Hallelujah. Because the kingdom of God will reign. Hallelujah. It will reign, and we will rule and reign with Him. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I thank You, Lord God, for a great year to come. A great year. A great victory to the kingdom. The kingdom of God will be expanded. Hallelujah. The kingdoms of men will be less, but the kingdom of God will be great. Hallelujah. And expand further and expand further. And we thank You for it. Hallelujah. Because marvelous and glorious things are yet to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord God. Praise You, Lord God. Praise You, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord God. For the Spirit of God is saying this. I've looked ahead in time, and I have seen and I've known the place that You stand at this hour. I know everyone. I know all that goes on. I know what's in the hearts and the minds of all men. But I have set in the church in this day and hour of My plan. And many have thought, oh, it's only weakness and it's only weakness. But oh, what is hidden that men do not see and do not understand. For I have called forth a church in this day and hour, and I've called forth a people, and they are coming forth, and they are My champions in this day and time. They are the ones that I've called forth to set forth in this land. Yes, in this land and in lands of the world, there will be a people that will rise up, and they will refuse all that men offer than that men want to do, and they will stand forth in the glory of God, and they will stand forth in a wisdom in this hour that no one can gainsay nor stand against. For their wisdom will come forth and prove itself time and time again, and many will be brought to shame for the things that they have said and spoken in the past. Yes, and many will see and rise up and say, yes, yes, they are speaking of the true God, and I will follow, and I will walk with Him, and I will know Him. Yes, and these are the days and hours. So don't look at yourself in a way or in a manner of your frailty. For I, the Lord, have planned, and I have planned to put My hand upon you, and My hand will come upon you, and you will stand up, and you will rise in this hour and go forth in the power that I have called you to. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we'll ask you to be seated before we go today.